Yes.
I don't mean touchdowns.
Oh, man. Welcome. Welcome back.
Oh, frozen face, Spencer. You know we are doing debatable if we got tech difficulties. Love it. Difficulties.
This is truly mid-season form.
Can Spencer hear us? I know he can't move his face.
Oh, yeah.
I like it. So maybe you're not actually here. We just have, like, your face and an impersonator doing the whole Spencer bit. I like it.
Oh, yes.
There you go. I love it. It's quite possible that the best show in debatable history was the most technically difficult show that we had. It was involved all types of MacGyvering and running up and down stairs. It was outstanding.
And now Alabaster, man, Alabaster is trying to interject and interjecting. I love it. hello, Alabaster.
Hey, I missed you guys, and I missed being a scold, but just two things. One, the audience can't hear Spencer yet. And then, so the conversations don't totally make sense. And then,
very good.
More production issues. Dominique, we lost your good mic. Can you refresh your browser and stuff so we can hear you better?
And in the meantime, he's refreshing.
Good mic.
If you yell good mic passionately enough, does it sound like a good mic? And there is the eminent domain that Dominique had encroached upon.
Yeah, it says it's all good mic. We're going. We got border. Good mic. We got refreshed me. We got tech difficulties in the problem. Oh, tech difficulties at the top.
Are you serious?
We got Spencer and we got me. Alabaster, do you have any insight that you want to give us before we jump into this?
That was just bullying. I did nothing wrong. And you guys tried to do me like that. Wow. All right. So I think we're all here. Hello. Welcome to Debatable Effect Television Show, where I think the audience can hear all of us now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think so. Well, I had to do the crosshouse run. We're at a completely different location, but everything's working right here. So I'm going to stay right here.
It looks great. I don't know what that room is used for. It seems like there is some fine woodwork in the background.
Yes.
Is that what they call it now? These kids, man. You know, mm-hmm. when football season starts, that's when the fine woodwork ends around here. We don't got time for fine woodwork. we are up watching tape, grinding. Yes. What? I like to whittle. Can a brother whittle? Are you being racist? Tell us what KD talking about.
Wow. Whittling.
Wow. Yeah.
I just want to point that out for the audience. Whittling is where Dominique landed. And honestly,
Thank you. If anyone would appreciate it, it should be you, Pablo.
Okay, that's a little much.
Or world class,
arguably not enough, depending on the version of the joke we're engaging in. Alabaster, where are we going?
Let's talk about someone who whittled away his, credibility this offseason.
Wow,
that's Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant and the Nets have decided to move forward as a partnership this season. Sean Marks, Steve Nash, Josiah, Kyrie, KD, Ben Simmons maybe. They should be good on paper. Do you now think everything is going to work out in Brooklyn?
Man, is everything going to work out in Brooklyn? No, but it doesn't have to, right? Like, let's play a more realistic game of what the Nets and their fan base can be engaged in this season.
Is there any other place on the earth where whittling takes place more often than in Brooklyn? I feel like Brooklyn is a place where lots of people they don't have Spencer beards. They have Iraq beards. Spencer
they strive has a true for beard. Them.
Yeah.
Right.
And they like do things like make things out of wood and somehow manage to still maintain multi-million dollar homes in Brooklyn. Man.
Yes.
Rich amateur, yes. Awesome.
amateur whittlers. cross-racial. I've seen cross-racial whittlers too, by the way, for the record.
Nice. Yep. Good.
Yeah, there's big money in whittling, evidently, just based on evidence. Whittling and beard.
Yeah, based on the houses that they have there. That's the
real estate prices compared to the graph of whittling interest. Both to the moon.
Is Alabaster angry yet?
Undoubtedly.
I think he would. I think I would go ahead and say that this is more Kevin Durant slander from a predictable source. All right, because frankly, Kevin Durant did everything he was supposed to do here. He tried to get what he want, and he got stonewalled. Life said no. That makes him like the rest of us, right? So I'm fine with that. I don't like the idea, by the way, that you get to this point and you say, it ruined his credibility. Kevin Durant's credibility is leveraged entirely on the basis of him being able to play basketball.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. He's not running for office, right? He's not trying to build a franchise. He's trying to do what's best for him. That's it. That's his sole responsibility here.
It does, like, and I find myself on the pro Kevin Durant side, or just pro player side in general in these cases. And I noticed that lots of people who are on the other side want to use this as some sort of shining example. Yeah, that's me and KD hugged. I love him because he's awesome. I wish I was that tall. Whoever that guy is like 6'6". And that ain't me. I've got a strong 5'11". But anyway.
That's a good 2 foot tall skull also.
The idea that somehow this is a sign that the player empowerment era is over or player's power is declining to me feels absurd. So, yes, this did not go according to the way Kevin Durant wanted to. But throughout the history of anyone having power, not everything goes exactly the way that you want it to. So in this case, I guess you probably want to specifically talk about this team, but it's just been annoying me generally how often I feel people like dancing on the grave of player empowerment and suggesting that Kevin Durant ruined it, as if executives don't ruin it all the time, and as if trade deals that don't involve players forcing trades don't fall apart all the time. It feels like thirsty and hater-tastic, and I hate it.
But the whole thing about player empowerment, I want to join what you just said, Dominique, with what Spencer said before, which is that Kevin Durant went into this attempting to flex. He went into this expecting or hoping, maybe not expecting, maybe let's give him credit on that level, hoping to be the empowered player of yore. And what he found was that he was labor. He was labor in a more conventional sense. He got told no again and again. Can I have the GM and the coach fired, please? No. Can I be traded? No. Can we get Kyrie for longer than 1 year is allegedly what Kevin Durant wanted, although we have not heard him say that specifically. But the answer to that question, also obviously no. And so the player empowerment thing, like, where are we? What does it say about it, is a really interesting question to me, because it suggests that, okay, A, not all the players were empowered from the beginning, right? Like, this is really about a specific class of guys. And the notion of, could a player who is that good but has a contract of 4 years in length and would have to sit out, right? Does that also get you the empowerment? And the answer to that much is no.
The answer to that much is no. I mean, Kevin Durant did not sit out.
Correct. No. Correct. Yeah. I'm saying if you're not going to threaten and or sit out.
Or tank, right? Generally tank your performance.
Or become a PR disaster in ways that are extreme, then no, you can't just get your way.
That feels more accurate. Not saying that the player's power is not what it is. It's that Kevin Durant didn't push the red button.
This is the story to be, is that Kevin Durant did not push the red button hard enough, passionately enough,
or at all. He didn't push it at all.
Yeah.
He threatened to push it. And then they said, all right, push it. And he said, I'm going to play. If he would have done what people suspect James Harden of doing in Houston, just like wearing fat suits and like, Kevin Durant could have pulled it off. But the idea that something happened to player empowerment on the heels of what, again, James Harden has been able to accomplish through player empowerment in the last couple of years, like, that seems absurd. And pointing to the Brooklyn Nets organization as an example of the end of player empowerment is just astounding. Like,
look who's on the roster. Yes. Look who's on the roster. The guy who pressed the button.
Yeah.
I have a question, because, like, right now, Dominique, I feel like you're sort of fighting against ghosts. Like, are people really saying this is the end of player empowerment, or are people just frustrated with the fact that the chess pieces in the league are moving so quickly and so often? Because I think there's a difference between those two things.
Okay, well, I'm biased. So, Pablo, answer that question. Am I doing it right or am I doing it wrong?
No, I think there is a general sense in the league right now that everybody is wondering, what, and Spencer just pointed it out too, right? Everyone is wondering what the cases of Kevin Durant and Ben Simmons will indicate about a future CBA negotiation, which can happen, which can be opted out of, and they can renegotiate as soon as, I believe, the end of this year or next year. I forget exactly the timeline now, because it's all calm enough to where that seems to have not really been at the forefront of executives' minds. And part of the reason, right, is because Kevin Durant is staying with the Nets and because Ben Simmons and the Sixers worked out a settlement about his whole thing where he didn't play and said it was because of mental health, by and large. And so there is a very, like, non-disclosed settlement agreement. And so, which is to say that there is peace right now, but the idea of where are we with player empowerment, that has been a macro question. I think an argument, though, Spencer, is also, like, why should the Nets of all teams, like, be a fair case study, given all of the variables that we've begun to introduce here?
Yeah, especially given that they've just trying to assemble a super team after they just assembled a super team. That seems to me to be, like, making the same mistake over and over again. Like, we've learned nothing. We've learned absolutely nothing about team building. From the other side, though, I have to contest the idea. There's this idea floated that it's hard for fans to really root for a team if we don't know who's going to be on it. Well, we generally know who's going to be on it. I think people usually like player mobility because it gives some franchises hope. To wit, one little wisp in the air last week before the thing that happened that we all knew was going to happen anyway, him staying with the Nets. But there was a wisp of Durant to the Grizzlies. Now, I will tell you, the greatest part of the NBA news ecosystem is occasionally in this huge river. You see something and go, ooh, is that what I think it is? And it just floats by. For a second, as a Grizzlies fan, I saw Durant to the Grizzlies. And I lit up like, oh, man, the possibility. I love that. I love that that exists. Right?
I am now realizing, Alabaster, I want to just acknowledge that I think what's happened is that the three of us have been sitting at home for 2.5 weeks or not at our computer debatabling for 2.5 weeks. And now we have all of these people we want to argue against that we saw tweet stuff.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. We were in happy places doing happy things. And then we had a glut of anger that needed to come out, and maybe it was unnecessary, but I do. Go ahead, Alabaster.
I was going to say, like, you started arguing, Dominique, I think against me before I interjected. And I was like, I haven't even said it yet.
I know your interjectivos.
Mm-hmm. You did the pre-buttle. You didn't even wait for the rebuttal. You did the pre-buttle.
I had to pre-butt that thing. I know where you're going. I know how you feel. I know how you think.
We know you went to a private school.
We do know, Pablo. Mm-hmm. Damn right, us public school kids.
Yeah, me and you, buddy. Alabaster, can I ask a question of you here? Because mm-hmm. You've been gone for 2.5 weeks very quickly. How do you feel about the Nets? Because my whole take on the Nets now is simply this. They have so much talent, and if they win the Eastern Conference, none of us should be surprised.
That's So I have two things I find particularly interesting. One is that I think they can beat anyone. I think that they're actually a smartly constructed team, and if they play together, they should be awesome. But the other thing that I find actually interesting, and I know, is the way that KD has, like, interacted on Twitter and stuff, and, like, he's been talking about legacy points, he's been frying the haters and stuff like that. I find it interesting because as much as I sort of rag on KD, he's one of the best players ever, and I think it's kind of interesting that we're seeing him grapple in real time whether or not he cares or doesn't care about his legacy, and this is someone who, you know, shifted the power of the NBA multiple times in the last couple of years significantly. And I don't think we've ever seen someone be that open about caring about not caring. And it's like, I don't know what to think about that stuff.
Man. Dominique, have you been diving into his replies? Because I have.
I have not. Oh, dude, man. What do I need to know?
So what you need to know is basically that Kevin Durant seems to be continually trying to trap people into admitting that they're just haters. They're just, like, rooting against him. Specifically and personally, and that it's not about some standard of legacy and greatness. It's about mostly just trying to bang on him.
I think we've all kind of accepted, particularly in the NBA, that we've transitioned from a world where we root for teams more into a world where we root for players. And people are fans of players and not fans of players. So that's the world we live in. The same way that there is nothing that a Vikings fan can do to make a Green Bay Packers fan like them, it's the same thing with KD. that people are set in their ways of KD. Some people are pro KD and they'll find ways to defend him even when they don't, even when he doesn't deserve it. I don't know anyone like that. And some people are on the other side where no matter what, mm-hmm. they're going to be haters. So like trying to argue against them is, to me, feels like you're trying to convince like a Washington football fan that the Dallas Cowboys should be their new favorite team. It's a waste of time for KD. And obviously he cares about the word legacy, I think, is where we get, where the players get caught up, or where KD gets caught up in particular. Cause I don't think he particularly cares about like truly what his legacy is, but of course everyone cares how people think about them and how they talk about them. And that, yes. whether KD likes it or not, no matter how much influence he has over new media, we still, us in the mainstream media, we still decide that. We still decide how the commoner feels about the player. And I think that's a hard thing to grapple with.
Two things.
One, you cited an argument which has real merit, which is a Washington fan trying to be converted to the Dallas Cowboys. I'm not saying it's a huge step up, but it would be an improvement overall in terms of life quality.
Yeah.
Additionally, I think when you talk about why KD is resorting to the haters defense, it's because we circle all the way back to he lost. That's the when you see somebody going, yeah, y'all are just haters, that means you've lost. It's the haters paradox, that the more you say these people are a bunch of haters, it probably means you took an L. And that's fine, because as we saw, that L comes with a 4-year, $198 million extension. It's the kind of loss you want to take.
I also feel like Kevin Durant has also been careful, though. So he has been, while he is simultaneously this guy who is lashing out at, and I even just saying the word the haters makes me feel like I'm 45.
Yeah.
But he's lashing out at the haters in his replies. But at the same time, he is specifically and deliberately and very strategically not talking about what he wants from the Nets, right? Like, there was a trade request. There's a request for these guys to be fired. We still don't have any other information from the man who's on Twitter all of the time as to why specifically his feelings had changed, why he wanted those things. And I think that is also an acknowledgement, Dominique, of legacy. It's an acknowledgement of, at the very least, reputation. He is very mindful of where the radioactivity is in the league, and it's around being a team killer, a coach killer. It's not about lashing out on Twitter. It's about that stuff. And it seems like he takes that stuff quite seriously.
Yeah. Like you said, feel 45 when you say the word haters. What do young, like, I feel like ops is a word that young people use now, but that does not mean haters. Like, haters and ops are different. Is there a replacement for haters? I guess I'm asking the wrong two people.
Right. What's the opposite of a simp? Is there an updated word for that? A word I can't even say because of cancel culture, obviously. But apologies, not apologies. I'm not apologizing for that. But yeah, what's the word? What's the equivalent? I don't know.
We gotta get on TikTok and figure this out.
I think that would be Chad behavior, right?
Yeah. Okay. I don't know. That still means nothing to me. I don't like any Chads, though. Chad seems like a guy I don't like.
Yeah, I believe somebody may have an opinion on this.
I got one more question.
What up,
but
Chad?
Yeah, get total Giga Chad behavior. But
thank you.
Giga Chad, I'm lost.
Doesn't it sort of seem like KD's just having an existential crisis because the Warriors won the title? And he's stuck
with Kyrie.
That's a theory.
Kyrie. Let me open the reporter's notebook that is full of no writing because I don't report anymore, but stuff I've been told. There are two theories. One is Kevin Durant has had an existential crisis because he heard what Draymond said, because the Warriors won the way they did, and he felt like he needed to do something to actually refute that argument. I need to get out of here. I need to win my way, my whatever. That's one thing. The other theory, which is the more fun one, which I subscribe to, even though it's rooted in even less, is simply that Kevin Durant has been trying to satiate Kyrie Irving, who does not want to play with for more than 1 year. And that everything that's happened is to show him, his friend, I tried. You hate Steve Nash, Sean Marks, try to get him fired. Try to get traded. Knowing full well that none of those things would ever happen. And that is the 3D chess theory, admittedly. But those are the two that only make sense.
I can say this about myself through the course of this show, been turning the steering wheel wildly because certain words get my attention and certain thoughts get my attention, and I steer us way off course. And again, existential crisis is a phrase that's used quite often. Are we using it right? Like, what does existential actually mean? Because I thought it meant to deal with like existence, right? So I don't think KD was concerned about his existence after the Warriors won the title. Maybe his existence in the pantheon of basketball lore. I don't know. Like, to me, it's hard sometimes to put ourselves in KD's shoes because we aren't in those shoes, and they're enormous and they do awful things to your feet, apparently, if you've ever seen them. Mm-hmm. But yeah. It seems hard for me to believe that someone who's as accomplished as him can be shaken by a public that he seems to like genuinely not really respect. Like, I think he does care what we say and what we think, but I don't think he really respects us.
But Spencer, this is the existential crisis.
Yeah,
of
please
the
explain
internet,
to me
right?
how this is existential.
No, I think mm-hmm. what's existential, Spencer, about the idea of respect and attention. I think on the internet, the truest form of respect is your attention. And as much as Kevin Durant feels like he is rightfully, by the way, in most cases, above all of these tetra chads, he still is engaging with them. And that is a respect in its most objective form.
What does a competitor do but compete? What does a competitor need to compete? An opponent. This is why he's both a legendary basketball player and legendary poster. This is the guy who would keep a thread going for 30 pages, going like, I found another source, right? This is the guy, if you want to know, there's a famous weightlifting forum thread where people argue about whether you can work out 3 days a week. And it comes down to people not being able to count to 7. And this argument goes on, no lie, for 55 pages. It's a real thing. Go see John Boy's documentary on YouTube called The Dumbest Boy Alive. It's about trying to explain this to somebody who will not budge. Competitors compete. This is why Kevin Durant, if he is uncertain about his legacy, it's because he's insecure. Insecurity is one of those fuels that makes competitors great. We talk a lot about people being great competitors, and we come up with pathologies, and we explain them, and we say, hey, this is why this person's great. You should also point out, this is why they're screwed up. This is why a lot of these people have serious issues.
Yeah.
Would you look at Michael Jordan's life and go, that was all psychologically healthy?
Yeah.
No, absolutely not. Earl Woods has a parenting book, okay? Earl Woods was probably a great parent in a lot of ways. There's a lot of fine journalism where you would probably go, he also made some mistakes, all right? That to me is at the core. We miss that when we talk about people who compete, is you say, there's a real weakness, a fault in people who are overly competitive and can't let it go.
Spencer, what you've just done is plunged Dominique Foxworth into an existential crisis.
I'm concerned right now. I think we have tiptoed right up to a think piece around this whole thing. Because
we're in it now.
The attention economy that you're talking about, like, this is the modern age where there was a time when the attention of the powerful or the influential mattered. And that was better in some ways and worse in a lot of ways. We are now in a time where just attention matters. And KD is getting attention from these people and he needs to respond to it. So there's that one particular aspect of the think piece. And then there's the other one about process versus results. Because Jordan in this time period, how different would he actually be than KD? This is the same man who made up stuff about people in order to get mad. This is the man who had a Hall of Fame speech in which he spent it just roasting people. He flew people out.
His kids. Yes, his kids were among those roasted.
He flew out people. Flew them out just so he could roast them in front of people at his supposedly crowning achievement. So while we celebrate Jordan because the results, we're looking at Kevin Durant's results and we're ridiculing his process. What I'm not sure is that different. Just be ruthless all the time.
I
got to push back for a second.
Jordan. Go ahead.
Which is that we don't just there's nostalgia to Michael Jordan, not just with the results, and that like people cared about everything that he did, his identity, the Bulls watching him play. And this is the and this is why I go back to the existential crisis. Okay, I think we can all agree, ball is life. And right now, Kevin Durant's ball is life is meandering and somewhat meaningless because he's lost the public to such an extent that, like, his legacy is sort of no, like, what team does he belong to? How are you going to remember this guy? And it's like, he knows this, he sees it. And, like, right now, there's not much meaning behind his career other than that he's one of the greatest basketball players ever and a mercenary.
But this is why when he, you know, gets commemorated, when they build his statue or whatever, it should be of him holding a phone. He is a stateless superstar. He is decentralized. He is global. He is the world is flat. He is existing everywhere and nowhere. He is the internet made flesh. No, you're right, Alabaster. Yes, but there is something there, right? Like, where is his home?
The fact that he was drafted to a team that was immediately dissolved and moved elsewhere, like, just feels like the great opening to the piece about the player who has no home. Did we become writers when we were away?
We forgot our podcast
and became writers. Too much thinking and reading. Gotta get back to these screens, baby.
I'm gonna take this back to internet moves here. Alabaster, that sounds like hater talk.
That sounds like hater talk.
Yeah. You sound like a big old hater.
Oh, that's a thick marker today. Kind of don't look
count the rings, hater. That's all I gotta say.
Count them.
Classic Chattabaster. All right, let's move on to the newly formed duo in Los Angeles. The internet is calling this duo.
He can't even say it.
I can't even say it.
Did he forget?
What is it?
Trick y'all and brick y'all because of Russell Westbrook and Patrick Beverley are now teammates.
No!
And my question, can they coexist on the Lakers?
That's great. I love that the Lakers keep on doing things that if you put it up to a vote, the internet would choose.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah. I don't like never do what your opponent wants you to do. Never do what the internet wants you to do either. This is the running theme of today's show.
Hold on. Did anybody in the internet want them to bring in Russell Westbrook? Like, I feel like the internet, or maybe I just follow like basketball nerds, but it seemed like immediately after that deal was done, the internet was like, hell nah.
So the internet, as we should define our terms here too. The internet as defined by basketball nerds. No, the internet as defined by people who like to make memes about the Lakers.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You're just right. Like boom times, major boom times.
My bad. That is the true internet.
For a franchise, Spencer, that has signed, you know, Lance Stephenson and J.R. Smith and JaVale McGee and Rajon Rondo and Russell Westbrook. And now, from the heavens drops, Patrick Beverley, which is just incredible.
Pat Bev, the only guy who might fly across the country after an unsuccessful home series against the Warriors to go talk on ESPN about how poorly everyone played. That is what I want. I want that Patrick Beverley. And he may very well exist. Like, that might happen.
What? So this is, to me, it seems like, obviously, they want to move away from Russell Westbrook, and they're trying to figure a way to make it as uncomfortable as possible for him. Like, either they already know that they have a place for him to go, or I'm not in the basketball circles like that, but the people who are seem to believe that this is an impossibility, that these people don't basketball hate each other. They, like, really, really hate each other. And I tend to think that players, I've been on plenty of teams where players have had much more serious grievances or had very serious grievances with each other, but you go and do your job. And that's in football where there are very few players that have that amount of power to be able to say, nah, I ain't gonna do that. So this will be interesting. Two player powers clashing against each other, and neither of them are in the player power echelon. Like neither.
Well,
of those
that's
are
what's
in.
So funny. Yes. About this. What's so funny about this is that Russell Westbrook absolutely feels above Patrick Beverley in any hierarchy you want to place them on. But right now, it's also true that Patrick Beverley is way more useful to the Lakers.
Yeah.
In part due to their own incompetence and not signing Alex Caruso, etc. Way more useful to the Lakers than Russell Westbrook is. And so this is this beef that goes back a decade because Beverley hurt Westbrook. He dove into his leg, allegedly got hurt. And then, as Alabaster points out, Patrick Beverley has been delusional, just in general, saying that, you know, he's going to... God, he told Steph Curry in 2019, you had the last 5 years, the next 4 years are mine. And he's been traded four times since then, which is just
First of all, he can still redeem that. He's still got a little time. Okay. Second of all, maybe Patrick Beverly was talking about personal development.
Exactly.
Right? Like, maybe it's like, I was obsessed with you for the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to work on me the next five. Okay. It's nothing but live, laugh, love.
Or maybe Patrick he Beverly meant, home. Or maybe he meant mine literally, as in the next 5 years for me are going to be like working in a mine.
I don't like that one as much. Yeah. I like Spencer's wooden sign in a white woman's bathroom much better.
Listen, he's just listen at 6:30 p.m. He's out on the porch drinking a little Chardonnay, listening to a little bit of I don't know something soothing. You know, maybe he's got Celine Dion on, just watching the sunset. You know, a little me time for Patrick.
Would love if Patrick Beverly, like I had just discovered. The swinging porch chair thing. Loved it.
Yeah, see?
Discovered it over the break, swaying in the breeze. But in contrast to that possibility, Spencer, is this quote, which was from May. So the other great thing about this story, right, is that Patrick Beverly, as you say, goes on ESPN, goes on his media victory tour after losing. And he says stuff that makes everyone eventually get tired of him and laugh at him. And he says this, quote, if I was a free agent and I played for the Lakers, we're going to the Western Conference Finals. Okay? That's what he said. Everyone laughed except for the Lakers, who said, we need that.
I feel like that's like... early in like the Trump presidency, people were going on TV trying to get a job just by like telling how great they would be. I think like this feels like the same strategy. It's like, you know, and that is like, that's not the guidance that I think GD Bus wants people to believe the Lakers are following. It's just like, let's go on TV. You think we can get a contract? I can get a 10-day.
This is how Brett Bielema got the Arkansas job. He wrote a letter to the athletic director saying, I thought you handled the Bobby Petrino thing really well. And then he hired him. That's nice. It. You get one splattering letter, somebody gets you a job. So this may have been a real strat.
Man. Yeah. So, Russell Westbrook in 2018, by the way. Pat Bev, trick y'all, man. Like you play defense. You don't guard nobody, man. Just running around doing nothing. Just running around doing nothing such a great scouting report.
Yeah. And you know what? That's my scouting report. That's awesome. If somebody was like, what did you do in an office environment? What did you do at work? I'd be like, yeah, that's it. Pure Pat Beth. All talk, running around, going to the copier, going to the bathroom.
Remember when they tried to convince us that Talen Horton Tucker was
going
to be something?
Mm-hmm. Oh, like, my God. I forgot about that.
I believed him. Like, I don't know basketball that well. And I mean, I didn't see enough of him to form my own opinion. And I believed him. Now I know they were lying to us or he regressed because – Pat Bev, the only reason why you bring in a player like this is you believe that he is going to have some playoff minutes, some impact in the playoffs, and he's going to be better. You trade him for a younger, more promising player because you think that he's going to have that impact. So Talen Horton Tucker, to me, suggests being lower value than Patrick Beverly. That ain't it.
No, jarring to see this trade for that reason.
There's an interjection. I'm just going to throw this up here. I'm going to be a good teammate. This is the alley. Please oop it. I need you to just tell me where they're going to send Russell. Where?
Oh, man. Where's the funny? We're alley-ooping this thing all the way to the Indiana Pacers.
Well, so this actually, quote, thank you for the alley-oop. I think they're going to send him back to the Los Angeles Lakers because LeBron is on Twitter, and I hadn't seen this until just now. But he responded to that guy, Cuffs, whose handle is 73-9, and they lied. And Cuffs said,
it's his boy.
The Westbrook disrespect and vitriol is still corny, regardless of how you feel about last season. Some people got to get a life, man. LeBron responded, I promise you he will regret this in a couple months. He responded by saying, can't wait for him to go off this season. Double exclamation point, shushing emoji. He's trying to build Russell Westbrook back up.
He didn't say where though. He didn't say where.
Yeah. This is so much worse if you're a Laker fan to see this tweet. I mean, assuming that he's not just trying to leave that legal loophole that Spencer just identified. It's so funny if they're actually going to do this, because my working presumption was that Russell Westbrook would be traded to the Indiana Pacers. That LeBron James had just extended for 2 more years, right? And that part of the preconditions for that extension would be that he gets the present tense valued as the most valuable tense, right? He says, I want to send out first round draft picks. They take Russell Westbrook. We get back Miles Turner, and who was the other guy they were going to get? Buddy Hield, right? And now LeBron James is indicating that, nope, not a chess game. Very much checkers, which is, God, thank you for the Lakers.
I mean, I guess maybe this makes Russell feel good. I don't think it does. It feels like, to me, it's one of those things that backfires. Like, I don't want you doing these weird public displays, you know, like, actually, I don't know what he's doing behind the scenes. Maybe he's doing that, but like, don't do that. That doesn't help me. That makes me look weak. Like, I need you to defend me. I don't personally appreciate that. Based on what I've seen from Russell Westbrook, watching Darvin Ham give a press conference with a scowl on his face, I don't see him as the type that sees this tweet and is like, yeah, like, this is a tweet. If I was him, that I'd show my wife, say, look at this motherfucker right here. That's what I would do. That's what I would do. That's exactly what I would do. Like, can you believe this? When I was in a locker room, and I would tell a story of how the opposite is what I experienced. When I was at Summer League.
When I was at Summer League.
Yeah.
And not crossing paths on the same court.
Yeah. I would send this to my wife, catch you with, can you believe this MF-er? Like, that's exactly what I would send. It doesn't work.
At one point, this man, Kevin Durant, and James Harden, all on the same team. All on the same team. Peas in a pod. Local, national media, just like, man, they got a lot of talent. Those guys are a heck of a team. No friction there. Nothing happening.
They all went on their collective Oklahoma City rumspringa and decided to completely embrace the sins of the outside world.
My solution is we need to bring them home. Bring them home to OKC.
Raise a barn together.
Yeah, raise
learn
a barn
what
together.
It's like to work with your hands.
Yeah, go back home, y'all.
We're back to whittling. Is that what
we're always back to whittling.
I can't imagine actually going on a rumspringer and being like, nah, I don't like this. Let me get back to no electricity. I can't. I mean, I understand different strokes, different folks. You get raised one way, whatever, but I just.
Okay.
Wow, this is amazing.
So let's move on. We got two more topics we should knock out in the last 8 minutes. And two of Patrick Mahomes' ex-receivers are sort of going on rumspringas right now. Tyreek Hill talking about Tua and Sammy Watkins talking about Aaron Rodgers. We have sound for you to listen to. But my question, do you think Patrick Mahomes cares that his former receivers keep chirping at him in the media?
Well, I guess we should watch then, shouldn't we?
He cared. I mean, he responded to Tyreek Hill, so he cared. I mean, let's be clear about Sammy Watkins. We can talk about the Tyreek Hill stuff, but I motion to dismiss Sammy Watkins' opinions.
Let's listen to Sammy Watkins and Tyreek Hill first, because Dominique.
I got a motion that I want to be sustained.
Tua or Patrick Mahomes? Obviously, like, I'm gonna go with 1-5 as the strongest arm, but as far as accuracy wise, I'm going with Tua all day.
The people want to know,
what do you
Mahomes
think of
Mahomes or Rodgers? Mahomes or Rodgers?
I've been with both of them. I've been with both of them, and I'm gonna be honest. I think Pat is unbelievably good, but A-Rod is on a whole different level.
Ooh. Yeah.
What's he supposed to say? What locker room is he sitting in?
Yeah, just say Rodgers and get out of there. The whole different level is the part that opens you up to criticism, but I'm with you. Like, he had to think about it for a little long. I don't know if this actually bodes well for Aaron Rodgers. I might take it back. We must listen to all things Sammy Watkins has to say.
Yeah, you want to talk about who's listening carefully and who's sensitive about this. My first nomination in this case would not be Patrick Mahomes. It would be the person, because you know what Dominique just heard? He heard the same thing Aaron heard, which was, I had to think about it.
Yeah.
You know what to do?
Oh,
you just
wow.
take that little bit of disrespect, pocket it, wake it up. That's your disrespect breakfast. Get that, go motivated in the morning.
Well, I mean, I might not want to run my motion now that I've heard the comments, but I'll throw it out there anyway. I think that we should dismiss things that Sammy Watkins says, because Sammy Watkins also believes that he's part reptile.
Oh, no. Wait, this was not in the research packet that I never read. What?
Yeah, Sammy Watkins. Do you remember the Bleacher Report piece in, I think it was like 2020, Sammy Watkins. Well, this was a tweet, actually. This wasn't in the Bleacher Report piece. The Bleacher Report piece went into Sammy Watkins' understanding of the world, good and evil, about powers that he had within his body that were, like, supernatural. We exist in this place mm-hmm. where he could actually, like, see the devil. And it was an unusual piece. I'm not saying he's right or wrong. I'm just saying that he got this by himself. Like, there's not corroborating evidence. Like, all of the world's religions, no matter how absurd you think they are, they got a lot of people that's like, yeah, that makes sense. Sammy Watkins is just Watkins on his own.
Wait. Sammy Watkins is walking around here solo declaring that he has superpowers and no one.
I'm going to send you the piece. It's a long read, but it'll blow your mind. But before I send you that, I can forward you the tweet where he said he's not human. He believes that he's part reptilian.
Okay, so why would this make you not think that he and Aaron Rodgers would have a rapport beyond that of normal teammate to teammate? He and Aaron Rodgers are both doing their own research, y'all.
It does not make me think that. It just makes me think that anything that he says, maybe I don't immediately take it as fact. That's all. I'm just saying.
I just want to know what part of the lizard. Like what? Or what part of the reptile? Like what? What's the power? Is it like can shed your skin? Can Sammy Watkins walk around shedding his skin?
Let me see.
And then he emerges like shiny and.
You guys talk about stuff. I'm looking for Sammy Watkins.
So this is what he should say, not just because he's his teammate, but because we are in what, year 5 of Patrick Mahomes' career as a quarterback. Year 6, and also by the way. Mahomes has been starting for 4 out of those 5 seasons, okay, going into year 6.
Yes.
Aaron Rodgers going into year 4, that was his first year, didn't have a breakout until in 2009, and has been doing this for a full decade and a half longer than Patrick Mahomes. That should be the answer that you give here.
Good job. Right. Thank you, Spencer. That's right.
You're welcome.
Also, I'm a whole different species. I'm convinced I'm not a human. Never was. Mm-hmm. I'm more like an advanced reptilian solar being. I'm very powerful. It kind of scares me. LOL.
It should scare you because you're playing in Green Bay, and if the sun is the source of your power, you are going to be weak on many days.
I don't know if it's a good or bad thing that when you Google the phrase reptilian solar being, all of the results are Sammy Watkins.
This is, I mean, to my point earlier, like, I don't like to say people are wrong about things that we cannot prove or disprove. I guess we could prove or disprove sure. whether he's a reptile or not. But I don't like to say people are wrong, but it's real hard when you're like, I watched the Manti Te'o thing before recently, and they pointed out how the only connections on Twitter to this woman that he was supposedly dating were in stories about Manti Te'o. So if Sammy Watkins is the only one that believes in this reptilian situation, I'm going to go ahead and say he's trying to catfish us. He's not really the reptile he says he is.
Wow, you're saying that if he took a DNA test, he would not be 100% that reptilian solar being.
Thank you very much. That was beautiful.
Thank you. I'm 100% that skink.
I Googled Sammy Watkins' weird tweets, and I mean, we could fill up the last 2 minutes. I'd rather not, but just I'll have you know, Pablo, that there's plenty out there.
I was so ignorant. I was ready to laugh at Tyreek Hill's podcast and how it's what's the name of it? It's like stuff I shouldn't say, but say anyway.
Needed to be said or something like that.
Yeah, that exactly. But instead, I'm learning all about Sammy Watkins, who, by the way, like I also just think it's funny that like is Sammy Watkins still good? Are we?
I mean, he's the disappointment. Based on his draft status, right? Like he never rose to the level of the number one receiver that we all thought he was in college. I thought Sammy Watkins was a sure thing, but
you know why people also why receivers say nice things about Aaron Rodgers because he makes some money. Like that's another thing. Like Watkins might be looking at like a nice contract down the road with another team, provided he's very nice to Aaron Rodgers and catches all the balls coming his way.
Wow. Yeah, no, he's managing up, right? This is an example of an employee who is managing up expertly. Yes, who realizes that
there's
friends are at a premium in this locker room.
I've read one like 6 times, and I'm not sure that I can figure out what he's trying to say.
No, lay it on me.
Wow, so sad to hear about Zay Jones. That's scary to hear. That's why I don't believe in none other than Lord, Amen, Jesus don't exist anymore. If you ask me, if he did, he wouldn't allow such an act and humiliation in this kid life. I know this kid personally. Angry, angry, angry faces.
See, this is all, again, so we have another athlete tweet that failed to live up to the greatest athlete tweet of all time, which again, I believe is Terry Rozier saying Osama should have hooped because he's tall as hell. That is the greatest athlete tweet of all time.
That's true. Still number one. Still number one overall. Scary, hey guys, Terry.
Chet Holmgren, foot. He ran into LeBron. Don't do that, guys.
Don't. He only looks skinny. LeBron's huge.
Yeah. I mean, so
Lisfranc? Do we pronounce it Lisfranc?
It's Lisfranc. I've always heard Lisfranc.
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 Mm-hmm. Extraordinarily painful injury if you've ever had it. Right across the top of the foot. Bunch of tears. It's nasty. It is not something you want to get.
One question after the bell. How do you think Thunder fans, or actually Thunder front office, feel about this? You think there's a little bit?
There's a pathological quiet, just like, ooh, that French kid. Bring me that French kid.
Oh,
look at Dominique with the French kid. Yeah. Look at him. That's adorable.
Dominique's also grown a foot since the last Photoshop where he's 2 feet.
Bonbons and all that good stuff. Wu-Tang forever. Nobody knows that reference. Okay.
No, I'm old. I get it as well.
Okay, I figured you would. Pablo, another hand.
Wu-Tang forever, I got, but the rest of it, I just, no.
I can't say the rest of that line, but it ends in wee-wee, bonbons, and all that good stuff.
I feel like a real Giga Chad right now.
I'm going to have to Google that. I don't know.
Goodbye, kids. Goodbye, fellow kids.
Oh, I missed you.